Welcome back to Following Noadon. This is episode 250. I am Elliot, and we have something momentous that has happened. My longtime co-host, Paul, and I have finally overthrown our tyrannical leader, Trevor, and he is no longer with the podcast. We have booted him out. The military coup was successful, and we have replaced him with what I'm sure will be a fair and honorable leader. That is Tim. Tim, welcome back to the podcast. You are now in charge. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. Someone bring me a footstool. All right.
Well, this is a probationary period, as you did see what we did to Trevor. Yes. So if you are not kind and good to me and Elliot, then we will rise again. So
we'll see. Yeah, we'll
you are
see.
Warned. Yeah, you are warned. But yes, in all seriousness, Trevor is taking a little bit of a well-earned break. He just had another kiddo. So they are taking care of new babies. So we are going to have a little bit of a fun spin-off episode here while we cover for Trevor. And with that, Tim, Paul, how are you guys? Tim, you first. How are you doing?
Awesome. I'm doing well. I'm mostly awake. I just had a long weekend going out visiting some family that was getting married in Colorado Springs. I was able to see Trevor and their new baby, and just got back very early this morning. So I'm still out of whack, but I'm really happy to be here and to take over from Trevor.
Yeah, we're glad to have you, Tim. Yeah, absolutely. I'm doing really good. Excited. Episode 250. We've made it a long way. I mean, it is kind of surreal to think about 200. It doesn't feel like 250 episodes. Like, I don't really think of the count anymore. Like, 250 feels exactly the same as probably like 25, you know, like basically the same. Feeling really good, excited. We have a plethora of fun topics to chat about. Of course, in lieu of Trevor not being here, we are very sad. But he, I'm sure, is having a great time with his baby. So, wishing Trevor all the best. He urged that we go on without him for now. Me and Elliot were fed up and we kicked him to the curb. You won't be hearing from him for a while. He gone. I would say like a week. You might hear from him again in like a week, but just because we're gracious and might let him back.
Yeah, I mean, it's lift time. So a week, Who knows how long that really means?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Of course. Well, with that, let's get started. We're going to start off with a pretty simple, but this is an important question. Paul, do you like to start us out? Which Cosmere character do you relate to the most and why?
Absolutely. This is a really tough question because Sanderson has so many great characters in all these books, and we've read so many now. We've read so many good stories that honestly, this is probably the hardest question of the night, like by far. I have a two-part answer. I have one answer, which is who I want to be, and then maybe who I'm more like. You know, maybe these are a bit extreme because this is a very hard question. So I'm going to give my answer, and then I have a couple honorable mentions. So first, who I want to be, this counts as an honorable mention, is I'd love to be Rayadin. Sanderson wrote Rayadin as like he's just a good guy. Like, he just does it all right and well and does such a stand-up job that I'm like, man, that'd be awesome, wouldn't it? But that's hard to reach. In reality, I feel like maybe more of a Wayne, you know, at times. Ridiculousness. I feel like that's not to the extent that Wayne does in Mistborn, but I try to bring a little bit of chaos to our podcast, sprinkle it in wherever I can. So I feel like I'm akin to a Wayne character. I feel like that'd be my answer. I also love his story. He's really the character that I think made Mistborn Era 2 for me. I know this is totally cheating because we have to choose one character. My last mention. So Wayne is, I think, maybe my answer. It's hard to pick. But other honorable mention, because there's so many great characters, is Adolin, who's my favorite character, I think, in all the Cosmere. Has beaten out Zeth officially. Like, they're right there.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. But
at the end of
first,
Zeth is out with Trevor.
Yeah. Do not misunderstand that with me not liking Zeth, though. Anyways, I find Adolin more relatable. I think that's a good way to put it. I find him more relatable. He's just kind of a slow and steady guy, and just kind of does what he can with what he has. There's some really great qualities about Adolin that I love, and I feel like I can relate to. And then there are some others, such as stabbing people in back alleys, that I can't relate to as much. But yeah, so there are my three characters that I'm throwing out there. So,
question for you, Paul. Kind of putting you on the spot a little bit, but
okay.
Those three characters you mentioned, Raoden, Wayne, Adolin, right? Those three?
Uh-huh.
Very, very different, very, very diverse. Those three characters go through very different journeys and face like different struggles. Is there any of like the struggles that one of the three of them faces that you like either relate to or inspired by at all specifically?
That's a great question. And yes, there is. I think Adolin is who I resonate with the most. So maybe that should be my real answer. But kind of this, like I said, the slow and steady struggle of it, kind of being a notable, but so Adolin's story is very much, he is in the fray of a lot of chaos, whether that's like the political state of the Shattered Plains, or whether that's being dumped into Shadesmar and surrounded by all these Surgebinders and not being like equipped for it, not being a Surgebinder himself. But through steady, earnest, like diligence with, I would say the examples with Shallan and with Maya, like where he's just earnest and open and supportive. I feel like that's where I relate, and that's something that I like admire and look up to. So I feel like that would be the story I'd pick out as probably the best. And I appreciate the question because I feel like that helps me narrow it down. I love Wayne's story and I love Wayne as a character, but I don't think I can relate to the mass sacrificial, like invested, you know, like the culmination of his story is, I can't actually relate to, I don't think.
Well, that makes sense because it was the largest explosion on Earth or on schedule at the time. So
yeah,
very singular.
Yeah.
Well, yes. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Paul. Really, really good questions and good thought there. Extra answers, but that's okay. I think we might all be going in that direction. What about you, Elliot? Which one can you relate to the most?
Yeah, I thought about this fairly hard trying to come up with what I wanted to share for a Cosmere character that I relate to. Multiple come to mind, just like Paul. I'll say honorable mention real quick to Raoden also. I can't quite put my finger on it, but something about that story actually really kind of stuck with me. Of all the books we've read so far, I think I'm actually looking forward to rereading Elantris the most. Way of Kings maybe like second. I'm very excited for starting a reread of Stormlight. That will happen at some point for sure. But something about the genuine nature of Raoden's, oh man, the world just flipped upside down, now what do you do? That kind of journey, that kind of challenge, that kind of what do you do when things go badly? Does the true version of you come out? Do you see maybe a nastier side of yourself, or does your true colors come through and it's an honorable side? And that's what we see from Raoden, I think. And I think that's really cool. My actual answer is going to surprise absolutely no one, unless this is the very first episode of Following Noadon that you are listening to, in which case please stop now and go back to the beginning, because we will probably spoil you on some things if we're going. My answer that surprises absolutely no one is Dalinar. Dalinar is my favorite character through the Cosmere and the Stormlight Archive, probably for the reason that I think I relate to him the most. And mainly circling around some of the battles that he's facing, or the decisions that he's having to make relating to being a leader and being a father and being a husband. Those kinds of things are things that I encounter in my life all the time and face some of those tough questions, like, can I bear the weight of the people that are counting on me to make a big decision here, whether that's at, you know, work or at church or with my family? All those places, I feel sometimes the pressure of, am I making the right decisions? Am I impacting the lives of people around me in the way that I should be impacting the lives of the people around me? And Dalinar asks some of those questions as he goes through the things that he's doing, and, you know, doubts himself sometimes because he's not sure, should I be making these decisions for people? Can I trust myself? He's got this darkness in his past that I have not murdered thousands of people. I probably should make that clear, that part, maybe I haven't quite lived of his story so much, but
you and Paul
both. Yeah. But that kind of lingering doubt of, am I the right person to be here? Am I just a hypocrite who is trying to do right, but really is just a flawed individual? That I absolutely resonate with and have to fight that battle all the time of trying to find, am I the right person for this scenario? Can I do this? And Dalinar inspires me to push through those and try to do the right things in the right moments. So yeah, Dalinar.
I'm proud to say that we did not quiz in advance, but if we did, I would have guessed correctly that your character pick would have been Dalinar. And
fairly obvious, probably.
I think the shoe fits, yeah.
It's a solid choice.
Yeah, Tim, what about you? I'm very curious. So just throwing it out there, since Trevor's not here, I feel like we get to pick his character for him. Is that fair?
That makes sense to me. We may tell him in his prison cell. I mean, house.
Yes. Yeah. When he gets his next ration tomorrow, we can tell him his character. I feel like we should give him something he would not be thrilled with. I think he embodies...
Lift.
Yeah, Lift. Let's go with Sadeus or something really bad, you know, like something...
well, you don't want to be Lift. Cruel.
That's fair. That's mean. Trevor, I'm sorry. You're going to be listening to this or editing this or something. I didn't mean it. I think he's more like a Silfrenna. I think that's where we'd land. He just floats around, picks up leaves. That sounds
supportive,
like
helpful.
Yeah. Yeah.
See that.
Absolutely. But anyways, Tim, I'm curious to hear what you say about this, but I, of course, wanted to throw Trevor under the bus first. Priorities.
Priorities, as you should. Well, for me, you know, the answer could change every day depending on what I'm going through. But right now, I was really just considering Sazed with his journey, and he really starts out as the mentor and the one who really knows what's going on and helps Vin along. But really, when we start to dig into his character more and more, there's more questions, and especially with where he ends up being Harmony. We get those questions and that dissonance, that discord, so to speak, where we're trying to figure out, with these questions, with these things, with these tasks that I am presented today, what do I do? Like, what is the right thing to do right now? And with from day to day, those things can be different, and you may not have the same answer every day for the right thing to do. And with in every situation. It may not be the right thing, but I like how he wrestles with those questions. And that's something I have been doing lately, just wrestling through some larger questions and stepping through that. And then on a little more superficial level, of course, I like to think of myself as studious, which is fun. Studious with a bit of that lurking sportiness, so to speak. So the surface level, Sazed at the gate fighting the Koloss. It's epic. I love that. I was always a bit of a contradiction growing up, where I loved doing sports, but I also, liked music and, reading and all of these things that don't normally go together. And so I like that aspect of it as well.
I think that's a good point about Sazed's character and the kind of like mix of interests and talents. I mean, the whole point with his Metal Minds right is basically being able to draw anything out of the hat, I guess, essentially, which is pretty cool. But I think that's a great choice. Sazed is definitely one of my favorite characters. His wealth of knowledge was the reason why I feel like I could not pick him as a character that that I embody. He's very fun. But yeah, with that, I didn't actually preface this from the start, but moving forward, we have two other things that we wanted to kind of talk about in this episode. First, of course, Cosmere characters we relate to, and we're going to talk about some art next, some art that stands out to us, whether it's official art from the books, or I think there may also be fan art as well. And then we have some questions. If any of our listeners watched, I don't remember which episode it was actually that we did this, but a while back, Elliot kind of prepared some fun questions, and we ended up talking through them, and it was like a game where you had to give your answer and then guess what other people would answer as well, which is a bunch of fun. So just as you're listening, those are the two things we're going to cover next. I want to go ahead and take us right into art, if y'all are good with that. I can pull up our screen here. We each brought a couple pieces of art from the Cosmere that we wanted to showcase and why. So I think first is a piece that you chose, Tim. Is that right?
Yes. Yes, that's correct. So I can talk about this one for a little bit. I remember deciding to support the secret project to back that that project, and this was one of the early art pieces that came out, and I've had it as one of my wallpapers for a while, and I like this for the layers that it has on the just the surface level. It's cool. It's kind of different. I get to see Hoid for the first time. I should preface this by saying I don't often look into fan art. It's cool when I do see it, but I don't often take time to go into it. And I've realized as I've read that I don't really have mental pictures of who the characters are. So being able to see this art helps. And then as you look into this a little bit deeper, you see some of the details with Hoid and the different magic systems he has available at the time. So you see he's got this musical instrument on the back. He's got a key, which I think is related to Silverlight. He's got some metal mines. He's doing something with his right hand. So I've always liked this one. I've had it up for, I guess it's been over 3 years now.
Are those vials of metal that he's carrying as well? Is that what that is on his belt?
Yes.
That's pretty cool. I didn't actually realize the investiture. I just looked at this and was like, oh, pretty solar system, and all the stars in the background, which is really stunning, really beautiful. This is a great piece of art.
Yeah. And then he's got his flute there as well. Plus, there are some other things that I'm not sure what they are, but I'm sure if I looked on the copper mine, I could get some more information.
What I like about this one is actually Hoyd's facial expression. The artist here, Howard Lyon, did a great job, I think, of capturing equal parts wise wisdom, but also snarky humor. Like, I can see all that in that facial expression right there, which I don't even know how you do that. And he did it somehow with this image.
I agree with that. I can't begin to imagine how that's even possible, but you're right. It encompasses the character, the two parts of Hoyd very well.
Yeah, I agree. We think we can move on to this next one.
Okay.
Slide two. It's also Howard Lyon. Spent some time at the Dragon Seal convention this past November looking at Howard Lyon's stuff, and I got a sticker of this one. This is Tress of the Emerald Sea drinking a cup of tea, as she does. And this story stuck out to me enough that at the convention, I picked up a copy of the really pretty version of the book. I've been able to look through that a little bit. And just the whimsy and the teacup. I don't have any deep specific reasons why I like this, but it really brings the world to life to me in a way that my imagination doesn't quite capture.
And I'm glad that you got that book, Tim, because I think if I were to recommend one of the like nice books that are out there in the Cosmere, I think it'd have to be Tress, the detail oriented that's in it. We talked about this a lot while we were reading the book, but the way that the pages transition to different colors depending on the scenes you're in and all sorts of details like that. Like, the book itself is like a work of art, not to mention having the beautiful art prints in there as well. So very, very well done. I think the next piece we have is one that I brought, so I'm happy to talk about it, unless you had others, Tim.
No, I was just going to say I spent many hours agonizing over which one I wanted to purchase because I knew I wanted one, but I wasn't sure which one.
My wife, Alex, this is one of her very favorites. If she was bringing one to the table here, this is the one that she would choose, I believe. Either this or there's an art piece out there of Tress and Charlie together. That's also one of her favorites. Well, the next one, I don't know if you're able to move it to the next slide. I don't actually have it up. Okay, thank you. I brought a couple. And first of all, first one here is from Yumi and the Nightmare Painter. I should also mention, I know a lot of people listen to us on Spotify. If so, I'm sorry, you're not going to see any of this on Spotify. Check out our YouTube video for this episode and to see the wonderful art. This is by Aaliyah Chen. Sorry if I got the name wrong. We actually got to hear from this artist. I remember the first Dragon Steel that we went to, Elliot, we got to hear from these artists that were currently working on the secret projects, I think at the time, or it was probably done, but not released yet. And it was really fun to listen to all of them. And this one really stood out to me. This is Yumi and Nikaro, I believe that was the name, right? Nikaro, in the trees. And it's just beautiful. I like how it contrasts the, like, they both have this like rich, dark hair. And then you have the beautiful sun coming through the trees and just these beautiful blossoms. It's just gorgeous. It reminds me a bit of like a cherry blossom tree, which is also relevant. Fun fact, we're figuring out our recording schedule for the next book chapters because I'll be actually in Japan for like about almost 2 weeks, leaving in a couple weeks. And this I feel like also kind of gives me that vision of like those beautiful cherry blossoms that they have in Japan. And so very exciting. And this is just gorgeous. This has stood out to me ever since I first saw it.
I am so glad that you picked this one because I was feeling so bad that I cut this one from my list. This one probably would have been next on the list of ones that I wanted to show because I loved this piece. I think mostly because I love this scene so much in Yumi and the Nightmare Painter. I go back and listen to our episode on it because I think I gush about it for like a solid 10 minutes during the episode where we cover it, because there's the visual description that you get in this moment from Brandon is so cool and vivid. And we don't always get that from Brandon. Brandon's not a super descriptive author. He's very action-oriented, far less on the tell you about the scenery that you're seeing. But he stopped for a bit and described the scene of them rising in this tree and the sun like hitting the blossoms and the everything else is going on there. And to read that and then flip the page over and see this art piece in the book was just such a cool moment for me. So this one for sure is stamped in my memory. This was a pivotal moment for me in my Cosmere reading journey was this art piece.
Yeah, this is amazing. I think Yumi, like when I was deciding on art pieces, honestly, there were several just in the official Yumi art that I could have chosen. There's so many good pictures. This artist, absolutely love all the work. Looking at the next one, this is a little bit of a, I think a lot of people will know about this, but a lot of people may not. It's actually a book cover of, I believe, the Bulgarian version, the Bulgarian versions of the Stormlight Archive. This is the cover for Rhythm of War. Y'all can correct me if I'm wrong. I'm pretty confident that it is the Bulgarian covers. They were released like in the grand scheme of the Stormlight books not that long ago, I think that these were released. But this artist on all four, I definitely recommend looking up all four covers. I'm on the verge of ordering this series, even though I wouldn't be able to read it, just because the art of the covers is so good. This is, of course, Navani here, and she had a lot of great screen time. I'm blanking on the name. I feel bad now. Is this with Raboniel? Or am I making that up? Okay, yes, Navani and Raboniel in Rhythm of War. And I just, the colors in this, I love these deep, rich blues and purples. I'm a sucker for it. My honorable mention, which is an art piece that I was tempted to bring out, but I actually had the physical print next to me, looks very similar in color scheme. And I'll show it on camera. This actually, I got this at Dragon Steel and just was about to put it up, but wanted to showcase it here. Also by Howard Lyon. I don't know how well this will show up. I've got the you can't hardly see that very well. Or hear me. But I've got this lovely, it's very large actually, so it's hard to see. But beautiful Kaladin art from Howard Lyon with all the purples and blues. I'm a sucker for these purple and blue art pieces, and it's just beautiful. I feel like this gave me a great image of Raboniel as well in these scenes and what was happening. So I really can't sing the praises of this artist. I believe it's Yasin Stoilov. We spent a considerable amount of time before the episode trying to make sure we found the right artist on this, which is a bit funny, but I couldn't not include this in my favorites. I think it's that good.
I like looking at art of the singers and the fused, because for me, sometimes my imagination wanders a little bit and I almost forget that we're dealing with a different species almost and how different they are physically. And so when I see art, I love the striking visuals that the singers pose, which is pretty cool. And real quick shout out to one of our members of our Discord. I'm going to butcher your name. I apologize, but Vasil, I think might be your name. Vasil. Vasil jumps into our Discord fairly frequently to post Bulgarian book covers for us. Vasil, I don't know if you're from Bulgaria, but there's a whole series of these with some really cool striking visuals in the Bulgarian book covers for the series. And they jump in there and share those in there, which is always super cool. So shout out to Vasil.
I always like the different interpretations of what the singers will look like. Because in my head, it was almost like, well, okay, the word I'm coming up with is Minecraft, but that's completely wrong. But almost like literal armor pieces jutting out on random points of their body. But this one is very much more, reminds me of Star Wars, of, I forget that race that, anyway, one of the Star Wars races with Darth Maul is a part of, with the different spikes and horns and all that. It's very, very cool.
Yeah, now I know what you're talking about. That is really cool. I agree. I didn't have the best picture of our Parshendi and the singers, and this I think was really good. It's way more, the style and the design is way more like sleek and elegant than I expected. It's probably just Raboniel being a queen, I guess, you know, but I think this is really cool. Really fun. And lastly, I have an art piece from Miranda Meeks, which is really cool. And this is one of those that when I first saw it, I was just like, that is epic. It's just simply, many people will recognize this, it's just simply the image of Kelsier with his mist cloak flowing all over. This is one of the most, like, I've seen this everywhere. This is just one of the most, like, iconic, quick little images, art pieces that's out there for the Cosmere. But I just think it's epic. It's super cool. It gives me that kind of edgy vibe, which our listeners probably know I like a lot of the edgy characters, you know. So really cool. I thought it was fun. I wanted to give a shout out to this piece for Kelsier.
Yeah, this piece is iconic. Looking at it now, I've never looked at it this closely. Almost looks like he's wearing, you know, jeans and a white button up, like he's going to his white collar job.
Yeah,
very curious. You're
absolutely different take right. On it. Yeah, I was gonna say, funny enough, you mentioned not like seeing it up this close. I agree. I've always, for whatever reason, it's always been a glance value art piece somehow. I, for the longest time in my head, pictured this piece, but I thought it was Vin. I hadn't seen it in a while, but like I thought there was a Vin art piece that looked just like this, like exactly the same. And so I literally tried to find at one point, like Vin Mistcloak art piece. Like that's what I was Googling for. Then remembered it was Kelsier, but really fun. Just, you're right. It's just like an iconic image. And then lastly, I think we have some from Elliot, right? I'll pass the reins over to you.
Yeah, I do have a couple. I wanted to go a little bit off the beaten track a little bit. I love a lot of the art that is in the books and some of the art that Dragonsteel has sponsored directly, but I wanted to branch out into a couple other realms because there's some other sources of art that I really like. One that I'm really excited about that's coming soon-ish, maybe. Tariffs might cause problems for this, but the role-playing game, the Cosmere role-playing game, I'm really excited about. One of the big reasons for that is like the art, just to get some, more than one, several books full of technical descriptions about the planets and the magic systems. I'm all about that. Let's go dive deep. I'm definitely going to make you guys play the role-playing game with me at some point, but just having a book like that to flip through and get to see different art pieces of just things is really fun to me. You know, flip a page and you just get a detailed art piece of, you know, a Sharblade or a Fabriel or a Spren, you know, out of context, even from the situations that they're in, I just think is really fun. I've got a couple like art books from various things like Lord of the Rings, or I have a Legend of Zelda, like behind the scenes art book. It is amazing. One of my favorite pieces on my whole bookshelf. Anyway, this piece specifically, I just kind of grabbed one I thought was pretty awesome just to give you a taste for what I think is coming with the role-playing books. And this one is Navani in her workshop. And it's by, I believe this is a French artist. I don't know how to say this name. Magali Villeneuve, something to that effect. I don't speak French. I apologize. But this is a really cool piece that I think for me gave me the intensity of Navani. She's very intent on what she's trying to do. She's very driven in designing things and figuring out solutions. And I see that in this image here with some cool detailed art of the sketches and notes that she's taking. She's got multiple different fabrials going on here on this table. This is a cool one. This is my new headcanon for Navani in my head.
Yeah, this is a totally different like approach or style of the art of Cosmere art than I feel like I've seen before. Obviously it's a different artist, but it gets me really excited for this role-playing game. I feel like they're really trying to bring a realistic light to a lot of these characters, and it looks great. I'm really glad that you brought this up, and you mentioned roping us into playing the game. I'm excited. You won't have to do too much convincing. I'm hoping that we'll be able to enjoy that once it comes around.
Yeah, same with me. Very excited. I like the way that, the purple, obviously. Purple is just an incredible color. And then, like, she's working on something, but also, you know, looking and moving forward. And you get that vision of forward progress just in a single art piece. Incredible.
Just real quick, before we move off of that one, like, I like art pieces, too, where the more you look at it, the more you see. And this was kind of one of those for me. I even just recently noticed that the lantern up in the top right there doesn't have a flame in it. It has, of course, gemstones in there. So just cool little details like that.
Yeah, that is really cool. I'm trying to look for the others. There's like I assume some kind of fabrial on the left, that little, I don't know how to describe it. The little circle thing. It reminds me of
hourglass.
I'm looking on the left side, not the hourglass. Oh,
okay. I see.
I'm trying to think of the word for it. So my reference for the week, I guess, is if any of y'all have ever played Uncharted 3 or watched the Uncharted movie with Tom Holland, there's a very notable little artifact that they use. And there's something they always call it. And I feel really bad because I can't remember the name of it, but it looks like that. That's what it looks like to me.
Are you referring to a sextant for like navigation on the ocean, or is it something else?
Similar, but they use a different word for it. I'm gonna find this. What's funny is I remember a lot of details. Is there's a ring that you used to activate it, and on the ring is a quote. It says "Sic Parvis Magna," which is like Latin, and I believe it translates to I don't remember that either, but I've always remembered that like for a long time. It means greatness from small beginnings. I just looked that up to double check. Anyways, I think they call it like an astrolabe or something like that. I don't know. It's not important, but it's a really cool thing that they have on there. I can't tell what this actually is in the art piece, but she's working on some kind of artifabrian stuff.
So that I think should take us to our last one here, which was the second art piece I wanted to bring in. It's one I'm quite excited about because it's from an artist that I've been following for a little while because she has done a lot of Tolkien art in the past, a lot of Silmarillion art specifically, which I've really loved. And then lo and behold, one day I jump on her Twitter, one of her social medias, and see that she's doing Stormlight Archive art. And I was so excited about it. Her name is Yenny Dolphin. I believe her name is pronounced Yenny. Yenny, I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing your name, but I think that's how you say it. And I love her take on characters in the fantasy realm. There's just such a relatability to like a humanity to the way she does these characters. This piece right here spoke to me the most. It's Kaladin and his mom and dad, Hesina and Lirin, right? The two of them, I think. And you see a lot of art pieces of Kaladin, but you either see him like maybe brooding or in battle or, you know, holding a spear, flying through the storm, all these like action shots. This is a scene that takes Kaladin to another level for me. It shows the like the broken side of Kaladin, the side of Kaladin that is battling some dark demons and sometimes just needs a supporting hug from his mom and dad. And this art piece is that. I love the style. I love the little bits like the spren above Hasina's head. I don't know what kind of spren those would be, but it looks like some kind of emotion spren, like little triangle shape kind of things there. And of course, Syl being goofy and silly in the middle of a sad moment is definitely 100% Syl there. But yeah, this one I loved a lot. Yenny's a favorite artist of mine, and shout out, Yenny jumped into our Discord the other day to chat with us. So that was pretty cool as well. Go check out Yenny Dolphin's art. She's doing cool stuff.
Yeah, that was really cool. I was not expecting her to pop into our Discord, but that was really awesome. What I love about this is I feel like I now have a picture for Liren and Hasina, which I haven't really had before.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've seen any other art with the two of them, but I feel like I've been kind of given a picture for those characters. And yeah, I think that's really, really cool. I'm glad I had not ever seen this one before. I think actually all of them except the two you brought, Elliot, I have seen before. But this this is a new one that is really cool. I did not know this was out there. I also have to say it is hilarious, the stark contrast. You mentioned Syl is being all goofy, but like she looks like I've never seen a happier image of Sylphina, right? And I've, you know, not hardly seen a more distressed photo of the other characters in the picture, which is really, really funny juxtaposition there.
Yeah, I really like with this one the choice of the backdrop. I'm not sure if this is quite the right word for it, but the canvas, instead of being just a blank white behind, has a texture. It really brings it down to earth with, you know, the earthy tones with it, and highlights like the darkness going on there. And then, you know, Syl being that big flash of color. I really like when art really emphasizes Syl's goofiness and childlike innocence. Because that's what I always associate with her, even as she like starts to grow in her character. Thank you for sharing this one.
Yeah, thank you. That was a lot of fun. We rarely stop to look at things like that, but it's always fun to do so. And in this case, seeing some art I have never seen before is really exciting. I will say, Elliot and I were a little apprehensive about looking up art, as we are currently in the middle of Wind and Truth, and we did yes. not want to stumble across any notable scenes that might have not happened for us yet.
we're going off of what we can best remember. Probably the most dangerous thing you and I could do right now is Google cool Cosmere art.
Exactly.
Odds of pulling up something spoiling Wind and Truth, very, very high, I feel like.
Yeah, I'm a bit nervous. There's been enough time that I'm sure all of our artist friends have been excited. I'm sure it's on their mind to bring a lot of these scenes to life. So we were a bit nervous here, but we made it through. Nothing has been spoiled. So very excited about that. And so moving on, last but definitely not least, something I've been very excited for is... Elliot, would you kind of re-explain the premise? I know you have some questions for us. Could you kind of walk us through the premise of that again and get into those questions?
Yeah, I don't have a lot. It should be fairly quickly to go through this, but just a few questions for you guys. Spin some theoretical situations maybe and get your thoughts, make you make a hard choice with some Cosmere related questions. When we did this before, we tried to guess what each other were gonna guess. I feel like maybe we'll skip that one, that side of this, in the interest of time this time, and we'll just get everybody's straight answer to this one. And I'll pose a question to you guys, and then I can follow up with my answer as well. Here comes the first one. You are going on a double date. So you and your wife going on a double date with a Cosmere couple. You need to choose who you're going on a double date with. You have three options. Your first option is Tress and Huck, but he stays Huck the Rat the entire time. Your second option is Adolin and Shallan, but she stays Vale the entire time. Your third option, this is your last option, three options. Your third option is Raoden and Serini, but they both are under the effects of the Shaoed the whole time.
Oh, man.
Who are you going on the double date with? You and your wife, Tress and Huck, Adolin, Shallan, Vale, or Raoden and Serini?
I'd like to kick this off, if you're all right with that.
Please.
Excellent question, Elliot. Very, very good balance of interesting things, but some drawbacks. I think 100% going with Raoden and Serini. Just thinking about the people who would be, one, interesting to talk to, other than the fact that I'm a fan of the book. And also, like, I look up to those two characters where they have relatable faults and relatable strengths, where some of the other ones are a little more whimsical, a little more terrifying, with Shallan being Vale.
So even with them, like, every time they bump their hand into the table, they're going to be in extreme pain. You're fine with that?
Yeah, I'm fine with that. As long as they don't go crazy.
Just be real careful
at that moment.
Don't bump the table.
That's true.
What about you, Paul? Who are you and Alex going on a date with?
Okay, I think Alex and I are definitely going on a double date with Tress and Huck the Mouse, Huck the Rat. I think it'd be really fun. I know Alex. This is Alex's favorite story. Even without like that, like, it'd be super fun. Teacups are a big thing. We like tea, so, like, you know, I feel like a little, you know, tea brunch with it would be a lot of fun, and you'd have a lot of comedy with the talking rat around too. It'd be kind of amusing. So I think we definitely have to go with that. But this is a great question. Once again, all three have their merit. Like Tim said, I'd be a little intimidated to get lunch with Vale specifically, but it'd be fun, absolutely. But I think we'd have to go with Tress and Huck would be the choice.
And just so I make sure I understand your answer right, you're going on a date with a literal rat at the table with you. You're
yes.
good with that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Interest. All right.
Fair
you
enough.
Know.
Interest.
Tress is a human. Yeah.
Absolutely.
They're in love, and that's okay.
There you go. Well, I'm going to balance this out, actually, because I think I would go on a date with my lovely wife, Amy, with Adolin and Vale, Shallan, actually. And I think it would be less intense or scary than you might think, because Vale doesn't really like Adolin that much. So she's just going to kind of check out a bit and maybe like pipe in with some snarky comments here. And we can just go have a fun lunch with Adolin and pick his brain about sword fighting and what is it? The clothing's fashion that he's all big into.
Fashion trend. Such,
I feel like Adolin's going to get along with just about anybody. So it's really like a lunch date with Adolin, and Vale's there too.
That's some solid reasoning.
A follow-up add-on to this, that which might would change my answer. If I go on this lunch date with Tress, is it on their home planet? Because I think that planet is maybe one of the scariest to visit, in my opinion. So
that,
I might be changing my answer. But if they're coming to Earth, hypothetically, I'd keep my answer. I think that'd be fun. Talking
I did
around,
not factor I mean, that into the... That would be fun. Yeah. I did not factor the planet into that question because you're segueing us nicely into the next one. It's the topic of my next question for you. Ooh. Our next question, different scenario, completely different. Now, you and your family are going on a world-hopping pleasure cruise throughout the whole Cosmere. You've been saving up for this for years. This is like the bucket list trip. You're seeing all the cool places, all the sights, all the joyrides. However, part of the package deal that you bought through the travel agency, right, required you to pick one of these four planets to stop on. There's four. You have to pick one. You've got your family with you. For me, this is like I got little kids with me, and we have to stop on one of these four planets. Which one are you going to pick? The first one is Tress's planet, Lumar. Second one is Canticle, where the Sunlit Man is. Third one is, yes, it's going to be tough. Third one is Scadrial during the time of Era 1, like with all the ash falling and not the more idyllic version in Era 2, the Era 1 Scadrial.
Okay.
And fourthly, our ghost-infested planet of Threnody. Family vacation, Lumar, Canticle, Scadrial full of ash, Threnody. You have to pick one where you're going.
Okay. I can I ask a clarifying question? If we're going on this world-hopping cruise, right, is this under the assumption that we are somewhat guided, that there's a professional, if you will, sure, leading the expedition in some way?
Yeah, you've okay. got like maybe some professional from Silverlight or somewhere that's got you like in a spaceship or something, or I don't know, okay. maybe you're hopping through. I don't know. Yeah, you have a guide. You have a guide.
Okay. If we have a guide, then I feel like this is the wrong choice, but I feel like I would go to Lumar because I feel like there's the most, you know, all of these are risky places. Okay. That's true. There's a lot of risk involved with any of these four options, but I feel like this, if you're looking at risk reward, I think there might be the most reward because Lumar looks very beautiful. All the moons, all the different colored seas, you know, like that'd be really pretty if you don't get water on a spore and die, you know, right away. But yeah, risk reward, I'd choose Lumar, which I did not, whenever you started the list with that, I did not think that's what I would be picking.
That's some solid deductive reasoning. Yeah. Based off of the first point before you clarified, I was thinking Canticle. Because, well, I like space, and I'm assuming if we're going to Canticle, we're in a spaceship, and so I don't have to worry too much about the safety aspect. I just get the epic views. But if I do get a guide, I think the most stunning views would be Lumar. Threnody, I wouldn't touch with a 10-foot pole.
Yeah, that one wasn't one of my top picks, that's for sure.
I'm with you. I feel like there's nothing about Threnody that makes me want to even consider stopping there. High danger. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe there's more to Threnody than we know, though. We haven't seen a whole lot of that planet. But for me, Threnody and Canticle both seem quite dangerous. Maybe Canticle's fine. Tim, you have a good idea. If you've got a spaceship with you, maybe you're fine on Canticle. I think for me, it would have to be either Lumar or Scadrial. Scadrial, there's not really anything pleasant to go see in Scadrial in Era 1, but I feel like it might be the safest of these options. So maybe I would just pick that one. But if we're willing to take on a little bit of risk, then I agree. Tress's planet of Lumar with all the colors and spores would be the more interesting option.
You could go see a Mist Wraith or something. That'd be cool.
Yeah, that's true. Visit the Condor.
Depending how long your visit is to Scadrial, would say how safe it is or not. Because with all the ash falling, long term risk, but short term perhaps not quite as deadly.
All right, last question for you guys, but it's kind of a thinky one. It comes down to this: don't make the wrong choice. The three of us are entering into a backyard baseball tournament. And Tim, based on what I know about you, we might need to replace this with cricket instead of baseball, but can be either one, baseball or cricket. You need a team of five players for backyard baseball. You're playing, obviously. So you need four people. We're going to do a little draft here. We cannot pick the same people. We're going to go one at a time. You need to draft four players from the Cosmere to be on your backyard baseball team. I'll give you a few seconds to think here if you need it. I'm not going to go first because I feel like that would be a little bit of cheating. We'll let Tim go as our new leader in seat here on the podcast. Tim, when you're ready, give us your first draft pick for your backyard baseball team.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. My first pick is Wayne.
Oh, okay.
The inventor of modern sports, right? Yeah. So okay. That's a sneaky pick I did not think about.
Ooh, is his like bubble time stuff gonna mess with this sport here? Okay, Paul, who are you picking?
Okay, I think my first pick, I'm gonna pick Zeph because he's so determined to be perfect and good at everything, as perfect as he could be. He will be the best baseball player if that is what you've ordered him to do. So I'm picking Zeph first round.
Ooh, that's a strong pick. Strong pick. For I feel like nearly similar reasons, I'm going to pick Adolin. Adolin's an expert swordsman. I feel like he's just overall generally really athletic. We're about halfway through Wind and Truth, and we just saw Adolin do something like super athletic on the battlefield. So I feel like Adolin would just be like obnoxiously good at baseball, never even having done it before. Like he just picks up a bat and is just like crazy good at it. So Adolin's on my team. All right, we all got our first picks. We still got three more to go. Tim, who are you picking next?
Next, I got to pick Kaladin. Follow the train of overachiever. Make sure get someone on our team who can fly. Obviously, a very important aspect of this game.
All right, I think I've got my next pick. Oh, actually, it made me reconsider. I'm having some mixed thoughts. Okay. You know, I'm going to choose Hammond from Mistborn, our pewter arm. I think I just want a good slugger, you know, someone who's just going to hit a home run no matter what. You know, I guess you could choose a Mistborn character too, but I'm going to pick Hammond.
Clever. I was thinking Mistborn too, and now I'm going to look like I'm just following in your shoes if I do this. And I'm going to do it anyway. For my second pick, I'm picking Vin. And that might be a little counterintuitive. I don't know that she's going to be hitting any home runs necessarily, but Vin is going to make some crazy acrobatic catches to get some folks out and some crazy awesome chuck that baseball super fast across the field, like just, you know, coin shot right across the field and get some cool defensive plays out of Vin.
I got to say, your fearless leader is a little disappointed because that's who I was going to draft next. But
well,
if Vin is no longer on the table, then we'll have to take Shy from the Emperor's Soul. I don't know if she's any good at sports at all, but she can make herself good.
Yeah, that's true. She's just going to stamp it, right?
Think outside the box, make it work.
Yeah,
clever.
Okay. Oh man. Okay. So we've picked a lot of good people. Okay. Oh man. We've picked some of the names I had thought of course, before were like Vin, Kaladin, you know, there's lots of good characters there. I have a lot of like good hitters, you know, I feel like I need someone who will, you know, I'm going to pick Lyft next. I think Lyft is going to be my fielder. He's going to be sliding around and catching the balls all across the outfield, you know, not letting anyone make it. Also, she'll just be a menace and distraction to everybody. So I feel like it'd be a valuable asset. So I'm going to go with Lyft.
She's going to steal bases left and right. That's actually a really good
you're
pick.
You're so right. Yeah. All she's got to do is get a single, get her on base.
How old is this Lyft, though? Does she... is she good at what she's doing, or is she just accidentally good at?
For the purpose of this, I'm assuming that they're on board. They still have their character quirks, but they're like, yeah, they're at least going to try to win type of thing somewhat.
Okay, that was pretty clever. I'm now feeling dumb that I didn't think of drafting Lyft. So instead, I'm going to pick the Lopen because we need good like positive team atmosphere, and Lopen is going to bring that. He's going to pump up our team, get us excited. I don't know how many hits he's going to make or catches he's going to make, but he's going to be worth his weight in gold because he's going to inspire us all to be our best with his antics. Lopen.
That is an excellent point. I'm thinking we need a lawyer on our team, so we're going to take Sigzil. Oh. And he will make sure you all are following the rules.
Oh, okay.
I see. Oh, yep. And I'll warn you guys too. This is the last pick, so make sure you're it's your final answer there, Tim, on Sigzil, because this is your fourth character along with you to make you five. It is.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, okay. I did have someone else I was thinking of as well. Let me deliberate for a moment. You know what? I'm going to change it. I'm going to change it to Sereni. We need a solid leader who knows how to bring everyone together and can direct things. So, Sereni.
That's a great choice, Tim. I was actually going to say Sereni, but I had two names in my head. So I'll go with my second choice, which is an excellent second choice. I'm not disappointed at this at all. I'm going to choose Jasna as my fourth pick because I think Jasna will be a great like team dynamic leader. I've got Zeth, Hammond, and Lyft, and we need some direction on the team. And so I think I need Jasna in there to get everyone on board, get everyone coordinated, and also just be awesome. So, but Sereni was going to be my pick. I think her sword fighting prowess and all the things like it's really promising. You snuck that one out for me. That was a good pick.
Yeah.
All right. Last pick. Here we go. I've had this one up my sleeve for a little while. I knew you guys weren't going to pick this one, so I didn't do it early because I knew I could do it last. I've got some speed on my team already. I think I've got some skill, some talent. I need some muscle, though. I think I need a heavy hitter, you know, someone who can knock it over the fence. This person is definitely playing catcher. I don't think they're going to get anybody out on defense, but we need Human the Coloss.
There we go.
He is going to blast it out of the park every time. And I've got Vin who can control him. And so he doesn't even need to know what he's doing because Vin can just do her little mind control thingy and act through him and all the skill of Vin through the muscle of Human the Coloss winning combo right there.
That was genius. Getting Vin and Human the Coloss. That was.
It's a deep smart. Cut.
Yeah, that was good. That was good. So.
So here we go. Backyard baseball. Yeah. Tim, you've got yourself, Wayne, Kaladin, Shy, and Sereni. A lot of leadership over there, I think, actually. Paul, you've got yourself, Zeth, Hammond, Lyft, and Jasna. And then over on my team, I've got myself, Adolin, Vin, the Lopen, and Human the Coloss. Folks out there listening, hop on our YouTube and comment who you think is winning this backyard baseball tournament amongst these three teams. Who's got the best team? Also, feel free to throw your own backyard baseball team in there as well. But good luck beating mine.
I bet you could. Okay, so one thing I have to say, and we... Hypothetically, I think it'd be really fun to come back to this, do this another time, where you'd have to choose our characters, but assume that no investiture is involved, right? Because I was kind of like, you know, I feel like I didn't choose four Mistborns, you know, four like Mistborn characters or something. We did not clarify that. So I'm assuming they have their powers and everything. It'd look a bit different if they didn't. That's for sure. But yeah, I'm curious to hear what people have to say about that. I you know, we all have lots of strong teammates. So maybe it comes down to us, and I just want to throw it out there that I think I'd be the best out of all three of us at some baseball. So just for those voting online, just keep that in mind. So
you're welcome to your illusions. I may not have played baseball, but I have played a fair amount of cricket in my lifetime. So I've got some of the right instincts.
There we go.
Awesome.
That's a super fun question. I like that. I feel like we need to draft more sports teams, more teams.
We should.
With Cosmic Rangers. That's really fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that was the last question that I had for you guys. So unless there's anything else from you guys, that might bring us to the end of our special episode 250. Anything else you guys have?
Nothing pressing. I of course always want to say this is of course always want to say thank you to everyone who's listening. All of our, you know, we've made lots of friends through this, and whenever we started, I didn't think we'd hit 250 episodes, that's for sure. And here we are, and with many more in tow and in the works. So very excited, very grateful to all of you listening, to Tim for stepping in for Trevor this week and joining us. Just very grateful throughout this whole process.
Of course. Yeah, it's always a pleasure to step in and talk with you guys about all these wonderful different topics. If you guys listening have any of your favorite Cosmere art, come join our Discord, and we've got a channel there for art. You should post it there, and we can share it. We can talk about it. It's been a pleasure talking with you guys this evening.
Yes, it absolutely has. And Paul, at the very beginning of this, you said something that resonated with me. You said it doesn't feel like it's been 5 years. It's going to be 5 years here in a few weeks from when we started this podcast. 250 episodes. That is crazy. But for me, I agree. It doesn't feel like it's been so long. It's just kind of become like part of my life is reading Brandon's Cosmere, talking about it with you guys, hopping into our Discord, getting all of you listeners out there and watchers hopping in with your own opinions and talking about this kind of stuff with us. It's just been a ton of fun. And at the pace that Brandon writes, I'm not worried about us running out of content anytime soon. So plenty more to come. 250 is not even close to the end. So exciting stuff. And as we go forward, Trevor will be back with us here very soon. I've just given him a little bit of a break this week so he can spend some time with his family. So we will be back with episode 251. We'll be jumping back into Wind and Truth, where we're at. I believe our episode or our chapters for that episode are going to be chapters 69, 70, and 71 of Wind and Truth. So we'll be continuing on in our journey there. But unless you guys have anything else, I think that does it for this episode.
Have a great night.
Toodles. See y'all.